I want to share a story with you this morning. You'll notice if you received the announcement bulletin as you arrived today that inside that there is an outline that a lot of our note takers find helpful. And some of you, I think, also do use that. You'll notice three scriptures that are highlighted there for you. We're going to get to those three in just a moment. Toward the end of our time together, I'm going to quickly make three observations from those scriptures. And if you want to be ready for that, then that'll be good. But I want to lead to those scriptures through the sharing of a story. The story comes through a good friend of mine, a good preacher friend of mine, who shared this story with his congregation recently. And I thought, you know what, that's a wonderful story. I want to share that on Mother's Day. So this is courtesy of a good friend of mine. The story I want to tell is of a mother, one of the great love stories, I guess, of a mother throughout history. The mother's name is Monica. I don't know if any of you who received the bulletin this past week read the front page article and saw a little reference there to the story I was going to share today. I didn't give you a lot of information, but maybe just enough. If you wanted to hunt around and Google something, you might have found some of this story. But if not, let me share with you the story of a mother named Monica. Monica's quite well known in certain circles of the Christian church, although she's probably not as well known in our Christian tradition as others. In fact, she actually has a city named after her out in California, Santa Monica. Monica died way many years ago, back in 387 AD. And while you might not have heard of her, many of you will have heard of her son. Her son's name was Augustine. Augustine was and still remains to this day one of the most important Christian thinkers, writers, and apologists that the Christian church has ever known. Augustine, however, was not always a Christian. And that's partly why his story and that of his mother, Monica, is so intriguing. While his mother, Monica, was a devout Christian, Augustine's father was an equally devout pagan. Not only was he a pagan, he was also just a really rough man. In fact, you could even say he was a cruel man. He had multiple affairs while married to Augustine's mother, and there is historical evidence that suggests he beat his wife Monica numerous times throughout their marriage. Now, reportedly, before he died, Augustine's father also became a Christian, but for much of his life, he lived a very pagan, very ungodly, very sexually immoral life. And in fact, he encouraged his son to do the same. From a very early age, he encouraged his son to be like him and conquer as many women sexually as he could. That was Augustine's dad's advice to him. And Augustine seemed to relish the idea because he lived a very sexually promiscuous, very sexually immoral life himself for much of his early adult life. Augustine, though, was also incredibly bright. All of his teachers recognized it. His mother recognized it. They knew as he was growing up that surely he was destined to become something great because his intellectual capacity, his intelligence far exceeded that of his peers and even that of his teachers from whom he was learning. Augustine's mother, like many mothers would be of their children, was his biggest fan. She knew how bright and how intelligent her son was, and she desperately wanted him to use his intellectual gifts for the glory of God. She desperately wanted her son to become a Christian. Monica was a woman of intense faith, and she was known in her community as a passionate woman of prayer. Every night she prayed passionately that God would break the hearts of people and bring them to repentance. Especially she prayed that God would break the heart of her pagan son, that he might come to faith in Christ and become a Christian. She was known for her prayers and for the tears that she shed in her prayers. In fact, just a little side note here. Monica's tears were so legendary that when the first explorers went to California, they discovered a beautiful spring that appeared to drip tears. They named that spring the Spring of St. Monica. The city of Santa Monica is named after that spring. So if you've ever been to Santa Monica, that's a little bit of the history of that name and of that city. Anyway, deeply concerned about her pagan son, Monica went to a preacher that she knew and begged him to go see her son and try to persuade him to become a Christian. The preacher at first said, "No way, I'm not going to waste my time on your pagan son. There's no way I'm going to go." Not exactly the most compassionate man of the cloth that I guess you might have ever known. But Augustine's reputation was known all throughout the community where he was living. And the preacher knew him, and the preacher said, "I'm sorry, I'm not going to waste my time on your son. He's a lost cause." Monica, though, would not give up. She kept praying for her son. She kept going to this preacher, begging him, "Please go talk to my son. I know my son's going to become a Christian someday. Please go talk to him and talk to him about Christ and becoming a Christian." Finally, one day, the preacher said, "The son of these tears is surely destined to go to heaven." So impressed was this preacher with Monica's persistence and her faith and her love and her desire for her son to follow Christ that he relented and he said to her, "I'll go. I'll go talk to your son." And so the preacher went and talked to Augustine. The visit was not very fruitful. Augustine was not interested in hearing about Jesus, and he was not interested in the gospel. In fact, at this time in his life, about the only thing Augustine was interested in was women. He had a very active sex life, and he didn't want to give it up. Years later, he wrote a book about his youthful indiscretions. Some of you may have read that book, depending upon what you studied in college. The book is called The Confessions of St. Augustine. It's a classic book. Pretty much anybody in the religious field of study is probably going to read that book or at least know about it. And some of you may have read that book or have at least heard about it. It's a great classic book. But at the time the preacher went to see Augustine, he wasn't interested in Jesus. In fact, he was running away from Jesus, and he was also running away from his mother, who was determined to bring her son to Jesus. And so intent was she on bringing her son to Jesus, she literally followed him around everywhere, day and night, for years. She was the first helicopter mother in history, hovering over her son day and night. As a result, Augustine literally spent much of his early adult life trying to get away from his mother. On one occasion, he was going to Rome, where he had plans to study what would today be the equivalent of a PhD in philosophy. Learning that her son was going to Rome, Monica packs her bags and says, "I'm going with you." Which Augustine did not want to hear because he had a girlfriend on the side and he didn't want his mom interfering in that relationship. But she said, "I'm going with you. I'm not giving up on you until you become a Christian." And so they both boarded the ship for Rome. Sometime after that, they stopped on their way to Rome in the town of Carthage. There, Augustine got a room for his mother for the night, where she could pray and rest comfortably while they waited to continue their journey the next day. While Monica was in her room, Augustine fled the town, jumped on a ship that was going to Rome that was leaving the port that night, and the next morning Monica woke up to find that her son had flown the coop, so to speak, that he had left. So what does she do? She finds her own ship that is going to Rome, and she follows her son to Rome. Once in Rome, she starts to ask around, "Have you seen my son Augustine? Do you know where Augustine is?" She finally tracks him down, and she says to him, "I'm not leaving you until you become a Christian." Not long after that, he tried the same thing again. He went down this time to the city of Milan, leaving his mother behind. She wakes up one morning, she looks around, Augustine is gone. She starts asking around his friends, "Where is he gone? Where is he? What's happened to him?" She finds out, well, he's gone to Milan. So the next thing you know, Monica has her bags packed, and she's on her way to Milan. When she arrives in Milan, she tells her son, "I'm not leaving you. I'm not giving up on you. One day I know you're going to become a Christian, so I'm not going to give up on that until I see that happen." While they were in Milan, Augustine was introduced to the preaching of a man named Ambrose. And lo and behold, something clicked. Ambrose spoke about Christ and the gospel in a way that made sense to Augustine. So one day he finally says to his mother, "I think one day I might become a Christian." Now you'd think his mother would be thrilled to hear such news, but instead she's unimpressed. She says, "I don't care what you think, I won't be happy until you become a Christian." For 3 years, Augustine listens to the preaching of Ambrose. For 3 years, while in Milan, his mother continues to pray that God will break the heart of Augustus and bring him to repentance, that he might become a Christian. Finally, in the year 387, Augustine was reading his Bible one day when he came across this passage in the book of Romans: "Make no provision for the lust of the flesh." He put his Bible down, and he said, "That's me. That's what I've been doing all my life. I've been listening to the lust of the flesh, and it's time I stopped." With that, Augustine requested to be baptized and became a follower of Jesus Christ. Upon hearing the news of his decision to be baptized, his mother Monica screamed for joy, wrapped her arms around her son, whom she had literally followed around for 33 years, hoping for this very moment, and she said to him, "All my hopes, everything I care about in this world, in fact, the only thing I care about has just come true. I don't care if I die tomorrow. If I do, I'll die the happiest mother in the world." They left Milan right after Augustine was baptized and headed back to North Africa, where they could celebrate with other family members his conversion to Christ. They got to the boot heel of Italy, to a little place called Ostia. They were getting ready to take another ship the next day, and they were sitting in a room that had a beautiful view of a lush garden down beneath the window. Monica looked out over the garden and said to her son, "Can you imagine heaven being any better than this?" In response to her statement, Augustine said, "Oh, mother, it's going to be better than this. It's going to be better than the moon. It's going to be better than the stars. It's going to be better than anything we can imagine. In fact, just the relationship we have with God now is better than anything this world has to offer." The next morning, Augustine woke up and discovered that his mother was deathly sick. He said, "Mother, we got to get you home." She said, "No, I'll be buried here." God knows where to find me. A few days later, hardly a week after his baptism, Augustine kissed his mother gently on her cheek and personally closed her eyes. She died there, the world's happiest mother. The rest, as they say, is history. Her son Augustine went on to become the great scholar that everyone who knew him in his younger days believed he was destined to become. His writings have continued to influence Christian thought for centuries now, all because of the undying love and persistence of his mother, Monica. I share that story with you to share these three observations that I alluded to just a moment ago. Number one, if you have a mom or a sister or an aunt or a grandmother or a godmother or a wife who has encouraged you, prayed for you, stood up for you, cried with you, laughed with you, helped you in some way to become who you are today, and they're alive, be sure to express to them today your gratitude for all they've done to help you become who you are. Proverbs 16:24 eloquently states, "Gracious words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones." Let those who've blessed your life, who've lifted your spirits when they were down, who kept faith in you when all others gave up on you, who believed in you when others didn't, know how much their prayers and their words and their actions and their influence have blessed you. And do it today. And if they're not still with you, offer a prayer of thanksgiving to God for the time you had with them and for the way they influenced your life in a positive way. Number two, and I say this to everyone, but especially here to the moms, the women who are here today, who, like Monica, may be praying hard for someone or about something. Maybe it's a spouse who is struggling with an addiction or a personal health matter. Maybe it's a child you're praying for to become a follower of Jesus Christ, or a husband or a parent maybe, or a friend. Or maybe it's just about a personal issue in your own life, but you have been praying about this and praying about this, and it's on your heart and it's on your mind and it's in your prayers continually, but you don't seem to see the prayer being answered. I say to you, don't quit praying. Don't give up on whatever it is that you are praying about. God is at work even in those seasons when we don't see Him and don't think we hear from Him and can't see the evidence of His actions in our lives. God is at work. Don't quit praying and trusting that God will hear and act on your behalf. Look, if anybody had a right to give up hope, if anybody had a right for low expectations, it was Monica. Her son was a flaming pagan. Who would have guessed that her son would grow up to become, and this is not an exaggeration, a man after whom we would name cities, schools, children, hospitals, institutions of higher learning? Who would have dreamed that this guy who set out to sexually conquer as many women as he could would one day become a pivotal figure in the history of the Christian faith? A man that practically everybody who knows anything about the history of the Christian church knows, Augustine. As some of our sportscasters today might phrase it, who'd have thunk it? Long ago, no one except perhaps his mom and his God. I cannot promise you that just because you pray about something, it will come true. God is not a genie who by some magical conjuring of words, we get him to do whatever we want him to do. He's not Santa Claus God. He doesn't just give out things that we ask for. But this I do believe, God is at work. And Scripture assures us that he is at work on behalf of those who wait on him. Isaiah 64:4, since ancient times no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait on him. God has not stopped working. God has not stopped acting on behalf of his people. And so as long as there is breath in your lungs, as long as there is hope in your heart, whatever it is you are praying about, whoever it is you are praying for, keep offering those prayers. God works on behalf of his people. Number three, I am aware that this is not an easy day for everybody. Not everyone had a mom like Monica. I was talking recently with a friend who shared with me that her mom physically abused her and treated her badly. And this friend of mine, though grown now, an adult woman herself, still carries the scars from that relationship. And I suspect that she is not the only one in this assembly today who thinks today is a difficult day. And sometimes we preachers don't help. There's a scab there for many of you who don't have pleasant memories maybe of your mom, or who've been disappointed in your life and not being able to become a mom. There are many, many emotions gathered in this assembly today in the hearts and the minds and the lives of the women gathered here. Some of them are pleasant, some of them are good, some of them are joyful, others of them are not. And so I realize that by praising this woman and the good news that her son finally obeyed Christ and followed him, you may have a hole in your heart that says, I wish I'd had a mom like that. I wish I had somebody like that in my life that cared about me that much. I wish I had someone like that. What I want to say to you is, whether you realize it or not, you do. You have someone in your life who loves you more than life itself. That someone is named Jesus. What we may have missed when it comes to the love of an earthly parent can more than be made up for when we come to experience and know the love of our Heavenly Father and our good friend, Jesus the Christ. Greater love, Jesus says, has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. And in that same passage, Jesus goes on to call us his friends. And that's exactly what he did. He loves each one of us so much, so deeply, so passionately, so fully, that he was willing to take the punishment that we deserved upon himself. He took our punishment, what you and I deserved, upon himself, willingly, so that we might be reconciled with God, so that we might be made clean and holy in his sight, so that we might be transformed into the image and the likeness of Christ, so that we might one day be reunited with our Heavenly Father in the new heavens and the new earth in paradise restored. Jesus did that because he loves you and he loves me. And so maybe this day is not all that it's blown up to be for some. But that's okay. Because every single one of us has someone who loves us more than life itself. And my hope and my prayer for you is that you come to know Jesus as your friend, as the one who died for you, now lives in you and through you, and is going to do that forever. Let's pray. Oh, Father, thank you for loving us even when we were unlovable. Your love for us is unending. And Jesus, thank you for taking upon us the punishment that we deserved so that we might be made right and we might be made one with our Father. For the hope you give us, for the cleansing you've given to us, for the putting of your Spirit in our lives, for the transformation you're accomplishing, for the promise, the hope of life in paradise restored, Jesus, you alone make all of that possible. May the hearts and the minds of those gathered in this room today always be keenly aware of how much we are loved by you. We are your friends, and you gave your life for us that we might live. Thank you for that. In your powerful name we pray. Amen. To all the moms, grandmoms, aunts, godmothers, good women, single, married, whatever, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make your face to shine upon you and give you peace. Amen.